This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Football Social Daily. Your daily Premier League podcast.
Welcome to Football Social Daily, the only place for a new Premier League podcast every single day of the season. If you're new around here, why not hit subscribe, and that way you won't miss the juiciest top flight gossip every 24 hours. And on today's show, we'll be looking at West Ham United and their latest acquisition. The Hammers club anthem is I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles, but that may as well be changed to I'm Forever Blowing Budget if their transfer record in the past is anything to go by. But not this time, as they've managed to secure what seems like a snip for a German international defender. Thilo Kehrer is the new man in East London, but will he be the new man in your fantasy Premier League side too? Tom from the FPL podcast, who got the assist, will be on hand to answer those burning questions, including the Leon Bailey conundrum and whether it's too soon to be thinking about binning Liverpool's Trent Alexander-Arnold and Andy Robertson after their slow start to the campaign. And later on in the podcast, we'll be asking, what's one thing in football that you just won't do? After Chelsea's Marc Cucurella revealed he categorically won't be chopping his Barnet, despite having it pulled at the weekend in the draw with Spurs. My name's Niall, and all of that to come on today's show in the company of Joel Tudor and Steve McNaughton. Morning, boys.
Good morning.
Morning, guys.
Now, Steve's a Liverpool fan, and Joel is a Manchester United fan, but you have to wait until Monday to see those two sides face off in the Premier League. Some of the weekend's action will be previewed on The Dugout, our dedicated podcast from Football Social Daily, featuring former top flight players, and it will be Francis Benali and Matty Fryett joining me for that one. So hit subscribe and you won't miss that on Saturday morning. Speaking of Marc Cucurella's hair, we've almost got an evolution of hairlines on today's podcast. You've got me, then you got Joel, and then Steve, who's fully embraced the baldness. I suppose, Steve, seeing as you do a lot of mixed martial arts, not having long hair is a benefit, as Marc Cucurella found out at the weekend.
Definitely, you don't want that getting in your way when you're, you know, getting in amongst it. So, fair play to him for sticking to his values and saying that he's not going to shave, you know, get rid of it. I was going to say shave it off then. That's just what I do. But, you know, he's digging in, and he'll get a lot of that because he's got a majestic head of hair. And
he does.
You know, I think, you know, these kind of defenders that play the dark arts will probably do a bit of that. But you can't get away with much these days with VAR and stuff like that. So, well, apparently.
Well, are you a shave it like number one or zero man? Or are you a get the razor out and do it old school, proper shave it off?
I've got, I don't know if I should name the product on the podcast, but, you know, we want to be, you know, giving them an endorsement, like, without paying for it. But basically, I've got a handheld razor, which is a famous brand, and you just literally put it across the whole of your head, and it takes about 2 minutes to give you just above a blade shave. So it's, you know, it looks like a blade shave with a day's growth on it, and, you know, do that a few times a week, and happy days.
I will say Steve does look a lot more menacing than Mark Cucurella does, in all fairness. I think it's the baldness that does it. Right, let's talk about West Ham United. That's who we're going to start on today's episode of Football Social Daily. And there is another new face in the building. Their sixth summer signing, and it's Germany defender Thilo Kehrer from PSG. And they've signed him for £10 million. We knew that West Ham needed a centre-back, Joel, as Issa Diop has moved to another London club in Fulham. So do you think that represents decent value? A player from PSG, he's a Germany international, £10 million in a summer window that has seen some really mad prices.
Yeah, I think getting any kind of German international for £10 million is pretty decent value, especially when they've just sold Issa Diop for £16 million. I feel like with Diop, it's like I've not heard or seen from him since Mourinho made those comments about him being such a great signing and wanted to know who signed him because he was amazing against, I think it was against United during their game against West Ham. But to sign Kehrer, who, you know, he's been at Paris Saint-Germain for a good few years now after signing from Schalke, it was always been hard for him to get back into the team, especially when you've got the likes of Kimpembe and then you had Sergio Ramos join, obviously on the back of Thiago Silva leaving. It's just been a constant carousel wheel of top defenders. Obviously you've got Marquinhos, who is never going to get out of that centre-back role as well, so he's been in and out of the side, you know, 24 games a season here, 27 games a season there, but he's never been the main figure pin. But I think for 10 million, you can't really argue against it when it's a full international player who is probably going to be one of the main players or one of the main options for Germany coming into this next World Cup. But like you say, I think right now there's such a shortage of top defenders, but more so I think these days you can't just be a good defender, you've got to be so good on the ball. I think gone are the days where you could just be this tough tackling monster at the back who just tackled it and then gave the ball away to someone who could take control of it. You see now in all of the top sides, majority of them could probably play in midfield, they're that good on the ball. And I think with him, he's probably one of those types of players. But I think it's just smart. It's smart business. And I'm surprised that PSG have let him go for such a small amount of money, to be honest. But I think when they want to move someone on, they're pretty fair with how much they want to let them go for. And I think for West Ham to keep it under what they receive for Diop is good business for them.
Yeah, we talk about good business because traditionally with West Ham, and I think some West Ham fans listening to this might well agree, they may well be nodding their head in agreement, is that there's been times in the past, Steve, where you've looked at West Ham and their transfer policy and thought, why have they paid that much money for him? On this occasion, it's a rare bit of applause and a pat on the back for the Hammers, because as Joel rightly points out, to have sold Issa Diop for £16 million and then to get this guy in for 10, I mean, even if it flops, you can then turn around as a West Ham fan and be like, well, it wasn't exactly expensive.
Absolutely. I think it's a very shrewd piece of business. And, you know, I think Joel makes some absolutely fantastic points on that. But, you know, just to add to it, you know, the guy's got Champions League experience. He's got Europa League experience. And he's 25 years of age. And he's only had one red card when he was 19 when he was playing for Schalke. And like you say, he's got 9 caps for Germany. But I think what's happening with West Ham is that, and I think Newcastle are going to have a bit of this, or maybe are having a bit of it, is that West Ham got to the semi-finals of the Europa League last season, and their profile will have been raised significantly on the back of that. They play in a stadium that gets 61,000 fans in it per week, and they are making some good signings and trying to turn themselves into a team that finishes 7th or 8th into a team that finishes 5th, maybe sneaks into 4th at some, you know, on the odd season. And I think it's got to be applauded. I think it's a no-brainer, this. And it's interesting because some of the signings that have come in for relatively low value across the Premier League are the ones that have you know, really done well. And, you know, Andy Robertson, 8 million, who I was bringing back to Liverpool, but, you know, he was a snip. And I just think this is a wonderful piece of business for West Ham. And I think that, you know, to get a German international for that is fantastic. And it's good to see the balance sway back to paying competitive fees instead of adding that tax on it for not having the profile.
Well, you talk about the profile, and European football is partly one of the reasons as to why West Ham probably have grown in, I wouldn't say stature is fair, but certainly grown in attractiveness for players wanting to come to the Premier League and seeing West Ham as a viable option. They are in European action tonight, actually, David Moyes' side. Europa Conference League qualifying against Danish club Vilborg. Are we expecting them to be a force in that competition, Joel? Do you think they've got enough to go deep into the Europa Conference League? We saw Leicester reach the semi-finals last season, for example.
Honestly, I think it's on them how much they want to take it and how far they want to take it, because I was just mentioning to you previously before the podcast of how Leicester found themselves in the Conference League, and it felt to me like Brendan Rodgers, when he first went into it, felt a little bit entitled on his part, just that for the fact that he found themselves in this new third-rate competition that he didn't really have any respect for until suddenly the finish line was there. And obviously you could see that the fans were massively up for it. You could see all the Leicester fans, you know, hovering around in Rome together. I'm sure they loved it. And then you realise it's not just about the professionals, it's about what it brings for the club and the people of the club. And I think for West Ham, they've got such a top squad. I mean, if they get through, which they should, they're automatically one of the top favourites by an absolute mile. And considering the fact that they've not won a trophy, just bottom line, a trophy in such a long time, it's an opportunity for them. As they saw last year where they got to the Europa League final, I remember 10, 15 years ago, the Europa League was something that everyone used to completely chant about because it was on Channel 5 and nobody wanted to watch it, and it was just a completely shambles of a competition. But now it has a little bit
steady on. And I watched AC Milan nearly walk away from Fratton Park with their tails between their legs on Channel 5.
Now my team's in it now. I mean, I can't complain anymore. But yeah, I mean, it's such a good experience for fans, to be honest. And the fact that it's got that prestige of being able to go into the Champions League now, that just raises the profile completely, because these clubs who never get a chance in their ultra competitive leagues now have a route into the biggest European competition that there is. I mean, if West Ham won that last year, they would have been in Champions League football this year. I know shoulda, woulda, coulda, but that was the opportunity for them. So I think for West Ham, and judging by this season, not the greatest starts from them, it could be one of their best routes into Europa League again next season. You don't know, because the Premier League's got a good number of contenders to finish in those European places this season. I mean, then Brighton's got a good chance of getting there. I think Wolves might end up shooting up with a couple of their signings. There's a lot of new contenders, I think. So, you know, it's not just the face value of being in that competition, is what it can bring as well. So I think you have to go for it regardless and just see where it takes you.
I'm still reeling from the fact you slagged off Channel 5. Nothing wrong with a free-to-air.
I didn't slag it off.
Football,
I was just
European
saying,
football and British TV. Those were the heady days, Joel. Pompey and Fulham and Everton.
No,
sit down on a Thursday night and watch those teams. Of course you would.
I didn't sit down on a Thursday night, although I do remember the Juventus Fulham game and seeing, you know, the likes of Treasure Gay against Clint Dempsey. What a time to be alive.
Clint Dempsey scored a ridiculous chip against Juventus, I seem to remember. One of the key things about him that sticks out in my mind is like disgustingly good goal he scored against Juventus. Anyway, let's pull it back to West Ham. Joel's right, isn't he, Steve? They've not had the best start to the season. They're 19th in the table, second bottom, no points. They've lost both of their games, minus three goal difference. Now, we've seen West Ham kind of be in and amongst the top six the last couple of seasons, but to draw a comparison with Leicester City, we saw them fizzle out quite quickly after winning the FA Cup and two fifth-place finishes. The Hammers have made six signings this summer, but they've made a poor start. Do you think they're at risk of a similar issue to what Leicester have faced if they don't capitalise on that momentum?
No, I don't think they will do what Leicester have done. I think they'll be all right. I think they'll find a way. I think quite a few teams have had a slow start to the season, but with two games in, I think it's not a time to really panic. I think it's just play the football. They play good football, West Ham, good energy about them. And I think they'll be fine over the course of the remaining 36 games.
Okay, well, West Ham United have signed Thilo Kehrer from PSG for 10 million, and they are in Europa Conference League qualifying action this evening against Vilborg from Denmark. We're going to speak FPL next, and I've got Leon Bailey in my team, or at least I did until about an hour ago, because I knew I was going to be speaking to Tom from Who Got the Assist, and I'm keen to know who he thinks I should replace Bailey with after the Villa man's slow start to the season. He'll be answering all of our FPL questions next on Football Social Daily.
Football Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily. Now it's Thursday, and you know what that means. It means it's time to get our weekly fix of FPL, and thankfully on hand to do a bit of surgery to our teams for us, we've got Tom from the Who Got the Assist podcast, part of the Sport Social Podcast Network. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, all good, mate. All good. Thanks for having me on again. Looks like the weather is unfortunately gone from the lovely summer to being overcast. Big rainstorm yesterday over London. See some nice sort of downpour for my office. But yeah, no, good. Looking forward to the weekend.
To me, though, it feels like the season is actually arriving when the rain comes and you get those evening fixtures where the floodlights are on from the very start of the game and not at half time. So I'm actually quite looking forward to the winter now and the football season kicking off. I mentioned just a minute ago, surgery to our teams. Is that required at this stage, do you think? Have there been quite a lot of transfers being made by managers, or have people in general stuck to their guns after the first two game weeks?
I mean, what's been, I guess, interesting this week in particular is that there was obviously quite a few players who formed enforced rather than elective transfers. So Darwin Nunez headbutting Joe Anderson, that's meant that he's currently the top sold player. I think almost 900,000 managers have dispensed with the Uruguayan services. And then on top of that, you've got the likes of Coutinho and Matt Cash at Aston Villa. And then Leon Bailey we'll probably speak about in a minute. But those two have also been sold by a combined 900,000 managers because they've been carrying injuries and also failed to perform in the first couple of the weeks. And then you've got the question that a lot of people online are asking about Andrew Robertson and Trent being the two Liverpool defenders. So obviously, a lot of people did start with the two attacking fullbacks, but it's just not worked out for whatever reason at the start of this kind of season. It's about 140,000 sales for Robertson, about 250,000 for Trent as well. So people are moving away from that double up at the back. I think that that's kind of the key sort of transfer activity right now in terms of what you do.
Yeah, and just building on that, is it too early to start thinking about changing? As you say, there's been quite a bit of disposal when it comes to Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. I've only got Trent in my team, but he hasn't really delivered, and neither has Robertson for managers yet. So I guess if you're chasing your tail and you're trying to sort of close a points gap at the top of your respective league, it isn't too soon to think about who could possibly replace them.
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've definitely seen a lot of people, for example, swapping Trent or Robertson over to a cheaper defender to make room for Luis Diaz in their team, for example, and going that way to having just one sort of Liverpool defender in your team. And that sort of thing could be quite good for structure going forward. It might be, as we discussed, I think a few weeks ago, that the peril of having that big at the back formation means that if a midfielder comes to the fore, which is something really interesting, you're a bit constricted. So taking that opportunity, adapting to what you're seeing in front of you, there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, Robertson to the eye every time you see him play. If you don't own him, you've got major FOMO, seeing how high up he gets. At times during the Crystal Palace game, he was basically playing in the central position. So points will come. It's just the case they haven't quite come yet. So I can see why, as I said, people are looking to take the plunge and move him out for somebody else.
But Liverpool have got Manchester United on Monday, which is the final game of this game week. And we know Manchester United have had their problems, to say the least, at the start of the season. They are bottom of the table. And I suppose this is a twofold question, because I imagine there's not many managers out there that have stuck to their guns when it comes to Manchester United players. So is it worth keeping faith for the Liverpool duo for just one more game week, particularly considering how poor Manchester United have been?
Yep, I wouldn't be keeping any faith with the United players if it was me. I noted that Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford have both dropped 0.2 million in 2 weeks, which is quite a descent, really. And I can see why, understand completely why. In terms of faith, Liverpool, with the Liverpool players, absolutely too. I'd be keeping my faith with them. I don't mind, for example, swapping Robertson to Luis Diaz and having three Liverpool players keeping that trident, just because Man United have got their problems, and after that they've got a couple of nice home games, Bournemouth and Newcastle. So, I mean, yeah, I'd be keeping faith with Liverpool, and I think that they will turn it around. And that game should be really interesting, just because I mean, United probably should try to get the 0-0. They probably should be looking to, I think that will be heralded as a bit of a victory, really, if they're able to keep Liverpool out. But Liverpool probably need to go for it, given the fact that City are likely to extend the lead at the top of the table, and they've dropped a couple of 4 points already. So that game, I think, could be a bit of a powder keg of goals. Keeping a Liverpool attacking presence in that game, in a fantasy sense, is definitely to be recommended.
Yeah, I mean, Mo Salah seems to have really enjoyed himself at Old Trafford, hasn't he, in recent seasons? But he seems to have enjoyed himself at every Premier League ground, if you look at his numbers that he's pumped out over the last couple of years. Now, when we spoke to you for the first game week of the season a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about who could come into people's teams at that five and a half million price point that could be a real differential. And a few people were looking at Leon Bailey as maybe the answer to that question, but it hasn't really happened for the Jamaica international at Aston Villa. In all fairness, it hasn't really happened for Aston Villa, has it, in the first 2 weeks of the season? So is there anyone floating around at that 5 to 5.5 price point, Tom, that you think might be a good replacement for Bailey?
Sure. I mean, if we're honest, looking even further out from just Bailey, none of the players within this price bracket, apart from Pascal Gross, who obviously scored that brace against Man United on the opening day, have really put their hand up to say, hey, you know, look at me, I'm definitely worth buying in. You've also got Rodrigo at Leeds, who's a little bit more expensive. But around this price bracket, my key thing to say is that expectations are low. We bought in Leon Bailey thinking, yeah, it could be a good punt. The expectation probably that he might nick a goal or something. You weren't expecting him to pump out Mo Salah levels of returns week to week. So when it comes to players like this, in this price bracket, it's more about the kind of player that you like, the player you think who can do a good job for you. There's loads of names around this price bracket, like sort of Eze at Crystal Palace, Fornals, Lanzini at West Ham, Alex McAllister, Adam Lallana at Brighton, Josh De Silva, and quite a lot of other players at Brentford, actually, and Brendan Aaronson at Leeds, which take your pick from them, frankly. If you like the look of one of those players, for example, I've sold Bailey for Eze this week because I just think he's a baller. I think you don't really need that much fantasy justification in terms of the data. You just need kind of an idea of the fixtures, an idea for the plans for this player. Just go with low expectations and just go with the one that you like as much as you can. I wouldn't say there's any kind of sure thing in this bracket, as there wasn't a sure thing with Bailey. But as I said, in terms of the Liverpool players as well, don't be afraid to just adapt and hopefully thrive by moving these players on if they don't perform.
Okay, I want to talk about Chelsea now. I actually have no Chelsea players in my FPL team. I did initially have Sterling before the first game of the season when I was trying to construct a side. And with everything happening at Chelsea in the last few months, with a change of ownership and this kind of crazy approach from the new owner, Todd Boehly, in the transfer market, who's just been going out and buying everyone, and he seems to be linked with every single player as well that I can think of, I felt that they maybe wouldn't be as effective this season. However, against Tottenham, I was starting to second guess myself. They look very, very good against the Spurs side, who've been tipped to do decent things this season. Kalidou Koulibaly scored against Spurs, and I couldn't help but notice that one of my friends had him in his team, so picked up a few points for that. But are there any players of Chelsea persuasion who you think might be useful picks?
There are two, and they play on either flank. Reece James is an absolute freak of nature. He's been in my team since game week one. He's one of those players who, if he plays at right centre back, then okay, you know, maybe a bit expensive for 6.1. But if he's right wing back, you've got a player who carries in defence a unique goal threat in terms of defenders scoring goals. And I know you've got kind of all centre-backs like Koulibaly, who you mentioned, Gabriel at Arsenal, who will get those goals from corners. But Reece James' open play goal threat is just off the charts when he's right wing-back. So in against Tottenham, they changed the shape later on in the game. James was allowed to run free and indeed converted from ball across the box. And I think that he is a player who is just worth owning, frankly, because in the easier games, quote-unquote, of which the next five games count as that, Leeds, Leicester, Southampton, West Ham and Fulham, you'd be expecting him to be playing in that right wing-back role. And at 6.1, wow, fabulous value. On the other side, Mark Cucurella started the game, got an assist from corners. And it sounded like, from what Tuchel was saying, that he has the upper hand against Ben Chilwell, who surprisingly started the first game. So Tuchel said that, I have the feeling that Cucurella has a bit more of a feeling for the rhythm and intensity of matches than Chilwell at the moment. Chilwell we keep for substitutions because he's an intense runner. But after his long injury, he lacks a bit of rhythm and feeling for the matches. So that, to me, suggests that at 5 million, Cucurella, if you can't afford James at 6.1, is a viable alternative. And indeed, given how good the matches are and the fact that Chelsea, I know what you're saying now about them perhaps being one to worry about given the start of the season. They remain an elite team in the league. So having a double of their defence is never a bad thing and could be great value over time, especially given the fact these guys offer attacking potential too.
Right, finally, who should I captain this week, Tom? Because it's been Kane for 2 weeks and that was painful when they beat Southampton 4-1 and neither Son nor Kane got an assist or a goal, which is, I think, unusual. And I think that that's fair to say that. Harry Kane did return some points for me, of course, with that goal he scored against Chelsea last week. But should I be thinking about switching up who wears my armband?
Well, I mean, I was saying to Anthony last week that You can't really beat yourself up about that at all, just because four goals were scored in that game.
It's true.
It's reasonable to expect that Kane would be returning there. And to be honest, against Wolves, Kane hasn't got the best record against Wolves, neither does Son. But both of them at home, especially with the momentum that should be carried through from that last gasp equaliser against Chelsea, both of them are very good shouts for the captaincy. I think most people are tossing up between Mo Salah, as you mentioned, great record against Man United, United in disarray, and Gabriel Jesus, who this week scored 19 points against Leicester. I think either of them or Kane represent, or Son, represent a very good option for your captaincy. And honestly, it's one of those where there's not very much between them. And it will come down to your individual judgment about which one you believe will do better against their opposition defence. So a good question to ask yourself is, will Bournemouth keep Arsenal out? Will United keep Liverpool out? Will Wolves keep Spurs out? And who's going to be the most effective? And who's going to be the least effective? The one you think is going to be the least effective defence against the team they're playing, that should probably be where your captain goes. So for me, I'm probably looking at Man United, picking on United a bit and going with Salah. But it's very close to him and Jesus. And I completely understand now where you're looking, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go with Kane. But Wolves, pretty stubborn in defence, I would say.
It's a sign of the times when you think Manchester United are more likely to concede than Bournemouth. I think that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah,
about it does. Where things are going for Manchester United at the moment. Tom, great to have you on Football Social Daily as ever. Tom will be back next week, but if you want more FPL stuff from him, then you can check him out on social media. It's at WGTA_FPL on Twitter. And of course, go and check out Who Got the Assist. The podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Nice one, Tom. We'll catch you next week.
Cheers. Thank you.
Football's Social Daily. Subscribe to the podcast now so you never miss an episode.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Welcome back to Football Social Daily. Great to hear from Tom there and his thoughts on who you should have in your FPL side. Don't forget, you can check out that podcast, Who Got the Assist, part of the Sport Social Podcast Network. Now then, we're going to have a bit of fun here on Football Social Daily. First of all, we're going to talk about the latest transfer news in the Premier League. And after that, we'll be discussing one thing in football that we just will not do after Mark Cucurella's comments over the last 24 hours. Let's start with Wolverhampton Wanderers, though, first, and their completion of the signing of Mateus Nunes for £38 million, which is a club record. He signs from Sporting. I mean, the Portuguese contingent just seems to grow at Molineux, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they've what's the guy's name? George Mendes. Still got his desk there. I think that
may as well have a statue there at this point.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it's a very good signing for them. I think it's very ambitious. He's been linked with a host of top clubs across Europe, and you know, Wolves have managed to get in there and get that deal done, which is fantastic. I think he's an exciting prospect at 23 years old, and I think he will bring a lot to that Wolves team. I just wonder if it means that there might be some movement out of the club, though, you know, with him coming in. I think, you know, what does it mean for Ruben Neves, for example? You know, are they going to shift things up a bit? Because, you know, we've got a crazy 2 weeks to come, haven't we, in this transfer window. And I think that, you know, Wolves, to me, they're a club that they really do punch above the weight when it comes to, you know, the transfer market, because they're not worried about lashing out these big fees on players. I'm thinking of the guy Fabio Silva, you know, 35 million quid for that, for the 18-year-old lad who hasn't really worked for them.
Gone on loan, I think, now.
I think that Nunes has got a bit more about him. He's 5 years older than him when he comes in, for example. But, you know, you look at the people who've gone in there, like Pedro Neto is an outstanding player. You know, they signed him really young.
Yeah.
Neves, who we've mentioned, you know, Moutinho, you know, for example. There really is a community of Portuguese players there, and they have the track record of delivering. So, fair play to them. You know, even they had the red and green away kit, didn't he, a couple of seasons ago?
Yeah,
in tribute. You know, so I think I'm dead interested to see how Nunes gets on, because I wouldn't have minded him at my club, to be honest.
Yeah, 23 years of age, someone who's regarded as having plenty of potential. And you're right about the kind of the element of Portuguese in and amongst Wolverhampton Wanderers. José Sá, I thought, was absolutely outstanding last season in goal. I think he was probably one of the unsung heroes in the Premier League for Wolverhampton Wanderers. And buying young as well, something Wolves have done. You said Fabio Silva, Pedro Neto, Diogo Jota was a smart signing before he actually ended up going to Liverpool. Ait Nouri looks like a decent little player as well, fullback. So they've got some good talent at Wolverhampton Wanderers. It'll be interesting to see exactly how Nunes gets on. I mean, he drew praise from Pep Guardiola in pre-season when Man City played Sporting, Joel. But do you think, much like Steve, that the signing of a new midfielder means someone like Ruben Neves could leave the club?
No, they're two totally different players. I think they'll complement each other really, really well, especially because Jean Moutinho's basically on the fringes now of his career, and I think he's just signed
a one-year extension, hasn't he?
So I think he'll become a little bit more of a bit part player, but what a player he is, just full stop. He's just a bread and butter player, isn't he? He does the best things so well. But I wonder if Portuguese has become the main language in their dressing room now, and that's the reason Conor Cody had to get out of the club, because my god, they have got a Portuguese contingent going on. But it's funny, because I actually saw Nunes in person play in Lisbon when I didn't even know who he was, and he was such a standout player there. But he's massive in midfield in terms of he gets about the pitch. Considering his height, he's got such a work rate, and I think that's what Wolves fans will really appreciate about him. And it was a shock to me when I saw him actually linked to Wolves in the first place, because like you both mentioned, he's been linked to nearly every big club in Europe in the last year or so. And to see him end up at Wolves, obviously they've got a number of guys who can pull a few strings there. It just shows just the pulling power of how having the right people around your club can bring these kind of players. And I definitely believe that, especially with him, in the next 2 years, I can see him jumping onto another club 100%, because he's got everything in his game to which says to me that he'll go on and progress in the same way that Jota progressed and went to Liverpool, in the same way that Neves is definitely going to once he feels the next steps ready. So I think for them two, it'll be a case of just complementing each other.
I do wonder what will happen with Ruben Neves, because to be honest, we were talking about that next step being this summer, and he signed for Wolves as a 19-year-old, I think, and he's now 24, 25. He's been there a while, helped them get promoted to the Premier League. He's helped them stay in the Premier League and establish themselves. They finished in the European places, didn't they? They had a Europa League campaign, or a couple of them, I think, back-to-back in their first few seasons back in the Premier League. So is the time for him to move on now? Has that time come? We certainly talked about it earlier on in the summer, but it all seems to have gone a bit quiet. We'll keep an eye on that one when it comes to Wolves, but they've signed a Mateus Nunes for £38 million, club record fee for them. I'm not sure it was a club record fee. I don't think it can be when we're talking about Chelsea, but possibly the most money they've ever splashed on a left back. Mark Cucurella cost Chelsea upwards of 60 million quid, and he's already been making an impact, but not in the way you might expect. At the weekend against Tottenham, he had his hair pulled in the build-up to Spurs' equaliser. 96th-minute Harry Kane for Tottenham, meaning the game was drawn 2-2. And we even saw a bit of fireworks on the touchline, didn't we, between Thomas Tuchel and Antonio Conte. But in the fallout of all of that, and the fact that Chelsea weren't awarded a decision by VAR, even though Cucurella had his hair quite clearly pulled, he's come out and said to the Spaniard that he will never cut his hair. It's staying on. So I wanted to ask you boys, what's one thing in football that you will never do? We can have a bit of fun with this one. I'll come to you first, Joel, because for some reason I have a feeling that there's a few things that you could say for this. But if there's one thing you could pin it down to, one thing in football you would never do, Cucurella won't ever cut his hair, what will Joel Tudor never do?
I'm interested to think what you think I'm going to say first, because apparently you've got some agenda on me.
No, I'll let you take it.
I've got two that come to mind. I think one is that I would never not celebrate against a former club. My God, if I was a footballer, I would rile up every fan like it's my last day on earth, like Jamie Vardy style, but on steroids. I mean, what a position to be in to... I feel like you'd feel like Russell Crowe Gladiator, you know, where you can just really intimidate everyone and no one can do nothing about it. That's like the best power position I think you could be in. So I think for me, that's one of them. But as a little extra, I have such a gripe against players where they make an assist and then the player who scores goes one way and the assister goes the other way to celebrate as if he just scored the goal. It's like, nah, the assister has to go with the player who's just scored. Otherwise, yeah, for me, it's just so selfish. You have to go and celebrate together. They make it all about them. So for me, make goal scorers great again.
I did not expect that. So are you going to get a hat made up? You're going to get a red hat that says make goal scorers great?
Maybe not now.
I like that though. I spoke to a former Premier League striker a few months ago, actually. Danny Webber used to play for Watford, Man United, Sheffield United, Pompey and a couple of other teams as well. And he said that his old man said to him that he should always celebrate a goal because you never know when it's going to be your last goal. Even if it's against a former club, a goal is a goal. So I can see where you're coming from there, Joel, no doubt about it. What about you, Steve? If there's one thing in football you would never do, what would it be?
Swap my shirt with someone at halftime.
Oh.
As you're walking down a tunnel. Yes. I think it's pathetic and I'm not a fan of it. And the battle is only halfway through and we're putting all the niceties in place for it. I think, you know, head down in that dressing room, regroup, you know, galvanise the team and, you know, switch the tactics and tweak the tactics accordingly. But let's not be hugging each other and swapping the shirt on the way, you know, down to the tunnel or in the tunnel. I think that's a bad look.
Do you think there's too much respect these days, Steve? And the reason I say that is because we're having this conversation off the back of that Chelsea against Spurs game at the weekend. And Harry Kane scored a 96th minute equaliser. We know that there's a bit of history and a bit of hatred between Chelsea and Spurs fans, it being a London derby and two managers who are very passionate on the sidelines going at it as well. We know all about that sort of stuff. But I couldn't help but notice in the pictures after the full-time whistle that Raheem Sterling, one of Chelsea's marquee new signings, went up to Harry Kane, who he's clearly mates with. They play together with England. There's no doubt they're both friends. But sort of patted him on the back and shook his hand. And I couldn't help but thinking, Raheem, just do that down the tunnel. Because if I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be spitting at the fact that you conceded a 96th minute equaliser to your rivals in a game that you probably deserve to win, and yet your new signing's going over being all friendly with, you know, public enemy, arch enemy number one, Harry Kane, shaking his hand. And, you know, we're not stupid. We know these players are mates and they all get on and they play for each other, with each other, for England and all of that stuff. So, you know, we're not trying to turn a blind eye to all of that, but maybe that's just the sort of thing that could happen in the dressing room and not in front of the fans.
I agree. I think it's a good point. You know, I think Raheem Sterling should, you know, if it was me, as opposed to what I think he should do, because that's not fair, if it was me, I would be raging that we've just conceded a last-minute equaliser, and I would not want to go near the guy. Like you say, after the match, when all the press obligations are done or in the tunnel or whatever, but I think you're right. I think doing it for the cameras on the pitch is not the way forward. And I think, you know, I think football should have respect in the right way. You know, I think, but it is a competitive game. You know, the men and women that play football, you know, they're coming out of it with bumps, bruises, severe injuries. And I think, you know, it is one of them where, you know, there is a bit too much emphasis on the respect. Because it's a battle at the end of the day. You know, you're trying to beat that team of men and women who are stood in front of you and in your way of progressing. So I just think that, you know, I think across both the men and women's game, I think, you know, we need more Jill Scott. That's what we need.
What do you think, Joel? Do you think that there's a bit too much respect these days between players? We don't tend to see Keane and Vieira in the tunnel anymore. Seems like that era is gone.
Yeah, I mean, I fall out with my best friends at Sunday League and five-a-side, so I don't know what these guys are doing at half-time in a Premier League game. It's just, it's madness to me. I think you do 90 minutes of battle, like Steve said, you play football, there's a million hours after the game to do all of that kind of stuff. But at half time, when your mind's still racing about what the next half's going to bring and what needs to change, and you're trying to change shirts as if it's the end of the game, it's madness to me. So yeah, I would never do that either.
I've thought about this and what I would never do, and, you know, I'm in an airing about it. I was a bit 50-50, and I come to the decision that if I was a professional footballer now, let's just say I started my career tomorrow, I wouldn't have social media. And I don't think I ever would throughout my career, because I think nowadays it's just become too much of a problem. And I know that it can bring in an extra revenue stream for players with brand endorsements, and a lot of people get paid to post these days. But I just think that, is it going to cause more hassle than it's worth? We've seen a story only this week. Cristiano Ronaldo liked a comment from a fan page on Instagram, and it's got sort of 25 articles about it because he's the biggest, most followed football player in the world on social media. And I just think, this is the same guy, Cristiano Ronaldo, who's come out and said that he's kept track of 100 news articles about him this summer, and only 5 of them have been right. And yet, you know, you've got another 25 off the back of one press of a button liking a comment on social media. I just think, Steve, social media now for football players, as much as it can be a useful tool, is almost more hassle than it's worth.
I agree. I think you don't get a minute's peace on it. You're under constant scrutiny, and if something goes bad in a game, you're immediately attacked by hundreds and thousands of people. And I just think that generally, I think it's social media is, because, you know, I obviously work in social media, but I think that used rightly and correctly, it can be a brilliant tool to engage with the, you know, the fans, the club and all that. But I do think that the media owners need to do more to make life more bearable for them, because, you know, when these footballers can monetize the profiles, they can make a lot of money out of them. And it's, you know, it's an extra revenue stream for them. So I do get why they should be on it. But I think if you're, you know, comfortably well off, which these footballers are, and you can live without that additional revenue stream, and you're not that particularly ego driven, I think, yeah, you're probably right. Stay off it.
See so many social media faux pas, don't you? In fact, there's so many that I can't actually think of one off the top of my head. I mean, one of the original ones was when Joleon Lescott decided he was going to tweet about his new car after Villa had just been relegated to the Championship, and he says that it was tweeted from his pocket. And, you know, I understand that sometimes people do have lives outside of football. We're not that naive to think that football dominates 24/7 in these people's lives. For some people, it is just a game, and players have admitted that. But I think that if you are going to have a social media, maybe it is worth keeping it under wraps and keeping it private.
Was it Anacerbi when he was at Sunderland who tweeted, say something like, thanks for the fans for coming down. Yeah. You know, yeah. So that's when it can go down. And obviously we've got the famous Wayne Rooney asking Rio if he needs a lift in the morning.
Oh, that's legendary, that. Hey, so. Rio, do you need a lift in the morning, pal? That's brilliant. I don't think that'll be topped. Anyway, yeah. I could talk about social media having a negative influence, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't follow ours at FSD Pod on Twitter. Is our new page there, so go and check it out. You can also follow the Sports Social Podcast Network on social media as well, at the Sports Social, because this show is part of that network, and there are a host of other great podcasts as well, including the FPL show, Who Got the Assist, who you heard from Tom earlier on. That's his podcast, and there's loads of others as well. Whichever Premier League team you support, I'm sure there is a podcast out there for you. But thanks very much, Joel and Steve. Appreciate your time as ever. That is it for another episode of Football Social Daily. We'll be back again tomorrow, so we'll see you then.
Football's Social Daily. Find more great sport at sport-social.co.uk.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.